talking about some things that are getting ready to occur at your property. I want to mention that because of the number of people that we have on this call, we are not able to host a question and answer session live. However, you may email questions at any time after this meeting directly to housinginfo@kcdc.org, that is, or kagleterraceinfo@kcdc.org. If you do not have a way to email questions that you might have from this meeting, then you may handwrite any questions that you have and slide them under the Kegel Management Office door, and Ms. Harris will be getting those to us so that we can share any information about questions or comments that you have with the entire group. We are going to share your questions and comments directly with the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development, otherwise known as HUD, as of tomorrow afternoon. So if you want your questions to be sent to HUD from the meeting, make sure you get them in. However, I want to make sure that you understand that even if you have questions after tomorrow, feel free to send an email or slide a note under the office door, and we will always be willing to get back to you with answers to your questions. So my name is Kara Davis. I am in the housing department with KCDC, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some things that are happening on your property from a program and relocation side of things. And then Mr. Tillery, your housing operations director, is going to talk about more specifically the renovations and modernizations that we're planning for Kegel Terrace. First of all, I just want to remind you, as we talked about in some previous meetings, that Kegel Terrace is being converted from the Low Income Public Housing Program, or LIPH, which I'm sure you're used to hearing, to something called PBRA. And PBRA stands for Project-Based Rental Assistance. Most of the things that you experience under PBRA are going to feel like they always have under the current program. However, there are some changes that if I were living in an apartment at Kegel Terrace that I would want to be aware of. And so we're going to share a few of those things with you right now. So the very first thing I want to communicate with you is that rent will continue to be calculated at 30% of your income as it always has. So if you are paying 30% of your income in rent, then you can expect to continue to do so. The one change that you may see in relation to that, that causes you to pay a higher rent, is if you are currently paying the maximum rent in LIPH, the ceiling rent or the flat rent. Lots of people call that type of rent different things. In PBRA, there is not a cap on rent. 30% of your income will be paid as rent, regardless of whether that 30% is above contract rent or not. But let me give you an example. Let's say if your 30% of your income is $600 and the contract rent on your apartment is $500. Because 30% of your income is $600, that's what you would be paying. If 30% of your income is, when it's all said and done, works out to $100, $100 is what you're going to be paying. So rent's not calculated any differently. It's simply that there is not a maximum rent on your unit. The next thing I want to talk about is not different under LIPH either. We still want you to pay your rent on time. Rent is due on the 1st, as it always has been, and is considered late after the 5th. Non-payment of rent, however, can result in some different things under the PBRA program. One thing that can happen if you choose not to pay your rent in a timely fashion is that you would likely get a letter from management saying that they are terminating your assistance. This is something new under PBRA. Terminating assistance doesn't mean that you're going to receive a detainer to go to court or that we're going to come and do a set out. What it means is you're paying the top rent for that apartment that you're living in because you chose not to make your part of the payment with subsidy. And so again, you will never be in this situation unless you just choose not to pay your rent. And at that point, there might be a termination of assistance. If you continue not to pay your rent, then that termination of assistance can turn into termination of tenancy. And that is the typical eviction letter that we would be, that's what we would call an eviction letter in our current program. Now it's called a termination of tenancy notification. Anytime that you're habitually late with paying your rent, that's going to result in negative things. But I know you guys over at Kegel, typically you're very good rent payers, so we're not really expecting to see a lot of problems here. Now, another change from LIPH to PBRA is that many of you are used to using the grievance process if you have ever received a notice to vacate or an eviction letter. And the grievance process in LIPH, which you're currently in, allows you a three-part process. Basically, you get an informal hearing, then a formal hearing, and if things are not worked out at that level, you move on to court. PBRA, the new program we're going to, still allows the grievance process, but you have an informal hearing, and if nothing changes from that, then you go straight on to court. So you still receive due process, but there is one less stage to the grievance process in PBRA. The next thing I want to address is that anytime your income changes, and this is just like an LIPH, not a difference, you need to report those income changes to the management office. It is really important in PBRA that you report those in a timely manner. So if something changes about your income, you need to get into the office and let management know what's going on. A lot of you don't have income changes very frequently other than your annual Social Security update. So some of you may not have to worry as much, but if things change for you and income, you're receiving more income or you're receiving less, you need to get into the management office and let them know. One of the items that has always been an issue under low-income public housing is that you have had to do community service if you are not disabled or not working. And that is something that completely goes away under the new PBRA program. So if you currently are doing community service, or even if you owe hours, back hours from not having completed it in the past, at the point that we transition to PBRA, all of that is forgiven and you start over with a clean slate. Something that I would like very much for you to be aware of is how this program, compared to the LIPH program you're currently in, PBRA has a lot more notices that are involved that are going to be coming to you in your mailbox or slid under the door to you by management. And these are notices that have to do with responding to management about certain items. Most frequently, these notices have to do with your recertification, which happens on an annual basis. And so don't feel too badly. It will feel like a little bit of bombardment in the mailbox, but the sooner that you respond to a notice, the sooner management can get the information needed and stop bothering you with unneeded mail when you respond quickly. Something that's a little bit different under PBRA than the LIPH, or at least it's being, we're enforcing it more readily under PBRA, is the 30-day notice. If you intend to leave Kegel Terrace to move in with family, if you found another apartment to move to, any reason that you have to vacate your unit, management needs that 30-day notice. If you do not give a 30-day notice, then you are forfeiting your security deposit that you paid at move-in. And depending on how long you've lived at Kegel, some of you may have lived there long enough that you didn't have to pay a security deposit. But many of you paid at least a $150 security deposit when you moved in. And you want to be able to get that back when you've moved out. So make sure you give that 30-day notice. Additionally, not for those of you that are currently living at Kegel, but new applicants that might move into the building, there is a new rule under the PBRA program that your security deposit must be equal to your must be equal to your first month's rent. I'm sorry, to your monthly rent amount. So if my rent, if the rent that I pay is $240, I would have to pay a $240 security deposit as a new tenant at Kegel. Again, all of you that are currently leased up at Kegel are grandfathered in under the security deposit you paid, so you don't need to worry about that. Finally, I want to say, and I imagine that many of you remember this from some of the early meetings we had at Kegel, that the Choice Mobility Voucher is an availability to you 24 months from the time that we lease you up under the Project-Based Rental Assistance Program. And once your lease is 24 months old, basically you have the right to apply for this Choice Mobility Voucher, which is like a Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher. And you can take that voucher and use it anywhere that a Section 8 voucher is accepted within the U.S. So I know a lot of the questions back when I was visiting with you before centered around this, and a lot of people were interested in thinking maybe, you know, a couple of years down the road, if I'm not feeling as well, that might give me an opportunity to move to another city where I have family, or to move to a different situation than the current situation I am in, I'm in Knoxville. So I just wanted to put out there again, you have to have been under this lease for 24 months, this new lease you'll be signing soon, before that is available. But it is a really great perk of the PBRA program. As we are getting closer, these are some of the main, let me just go back and restate. These are some of the main differences for you guys as we are getting toward the project-based rental assistance conversion, or the RAD conversion is what we've been calling that a lot in our meetings. We are anticipating that we will be signing new leases with you guys sometime around November or December of this year. And at the point that we are able to do that, we will have not just your management team there at Kegel, but several people within KCDC that are coming out and doing that paperwork, because we will be time limited in how we must turn that around. So be ready in November to get a notice about an appointment date and time for leasing. And there will be more information for you as we get closer to that. If anything about that changes as well, we will be notifying you. So if, for example, it doesn't look like something's going to happen as quickly as November, we'll be reaching out to you before we get too far along. So I'm guessing that a lot of people are very interested in the whole idea of relocation and relocation allowances. So as we get closer to the rehab and modernization at Kegel, management's going to start talking to you about possible moves that need to be made so that these physical things that we need to do at your property can be accomplished. And so as we get close to that, I want you to know that you're not expected to do that all out there on your own without some financial assistance. And HUD requires that KCDC work with your household and provide you a moving allowance in order to move from your unit to the unit we require you to move on to so that that work can be done. We are offering two types of moving allowances at Kegel. So Kegel has no two-bedroom apartments. Zero and one bedrooms are what we have. And so the moving allowance, if you choose to move yourself or have a family member come help you move, or you and your neighbor decide that you're going to team up and help each other move, if it is a move that you are handling on your own, you are going to receive $575 when KCDC asks that you relocate. $425 of that payment is to cover your moving costs. $150 of that is for incidentals or fees that might be associated with things like moving your cable, maybe having a phone service. If you have a landline phone, you may need to have that moved. So that's just some general monies to help with anything like that that comes with a move. And again, beyond the $150 incidentals, you will receive $425 to cover moving costs. If you decide to hire some outside mover to come in and do things for you, it's up to you how much you're going to pay out of that $425. If I was doing this, I would probably call my son up and say, hey, son, you want to make a little bit of money? And I might give him $100 to move me and I can pocket the $325. That's perfectly acceptable. It's up to you what you decide to do with that money, but you must move in a timely manner when management gives word that it's coming up, that it's time for you. Let me also address, if you don't want to move yourself, if you feel physically like that's more than you would want to handle for yourself, if you don't want to call in family or friends to help you out, we also have a moving company that we contract with at KCDC. And KCDC will step in and pay your moving costs, and you will receive just the $150 incidental and fees payment. So let me cover these choices one more time. You may move yourself. And when you choose to move yourself, you would receive in total $575. Or a moving company contracted by KCDC may move you and you would receive $150. Let me explain that once management approaches you or sends you notice that it is time to make that move, you will receive 60% of the payment that you had for the relocation plan that you have selected. So if you are moving yourself, 60% of $575 is $345. So you would get that up front. Once you have your items moved out of your apartment to where you're being relocated and go to management and turn in your keys, we will give you the other 40% of the full payment. So that would be $230. So a payment of $345 and $230 would equal the $575. If you are choosing to use a moving company to move you versus trying to move yourself or get help from your family, then you will receive $90 at the time management approaches you and asks that you move. And once you have turned in the keys for your unit, once it is empty, you'll receive a $60 balance to equal the $150. So there are two choices. Let me reassure you, that's a lot of numbers I'm throwing out there. As of about noon today, everything that I have said to you so far and everything that will be said in the rest of this meeting will be posted on KCDC's website, and we have provided that to your management. So if you don't have computer access or a phone that you might be able to get on KCDC's website with, then management will have hard copies of the presentation we're going over today. I do want to throw out there that we are not expecting anyone is going to have to move off of the Kegel property. We do anticipate that more than likely you're going to have to move at least once, and possibly for some twice, but we do not anticipate multiple moves under this program. So just want to make you feel better about that. We're not going to be sending you hither and yon constantly. Also want to let you know that we think that most relocations will just be transfers to other units. The only time I can think of that might not occur is if somehow we have a reasonable accommodation issue and have to move you to another site until that can be addressed. I believe I have covered most of what I've set out to cover with you on the changes in program and the relocation piece. I anticipate that you'll have lots of questions, so let me remind you again, you may handwrite those questions and slide them under your management office door, or you may feel free to email those directly to housinginfo@kcdc.org or kegelterraceinfo@kcdc.org. And we will be looking for those, and all questions we receive, we will be adding to what we are posting out on the internet today, and we'll also provide the answers to any questions that we receive to management. So again, if you do not have computer access, that you may request a hard copy after today. I am going to complete my part of this session and turn things over to our Housing Operations Director, Matt Tillery, who I'm sure has some of the information you're most interested in hearing about what's going to happen as far as modernization and renovation of the property. Thank you. Matt?
Hey, Kara, thanks so much. Guys, I just wanted to thank everybody. Right now we've got 32 participants here. That means 30 of you all of Kegel Terrace residents are on here. I just wanted to give my appreciation for taking the time out of your day and allowing us to have this conversation. Two of the things I want to just highlight again from what Kara just finished up saying is please make sure that you're looking at your mailboxes and looking at your other points of contact that you've left with us. especially as we move to this conversion. We really need to make sure that we're doing that on a continual basis to make sure that this is as smooth as possible of a process for you, for us, for everybody. And just appreciate your time and patience with us as we do continue to move forward. I'm going to get into some of the things that I think are pretty exciting, honestly, to bring to Kegel Terrace, something that's well-deserved, and we're looking forward to getting this done, too. It's a heck of a process, but it's a very needed one and very welcomed one for sure. The other thing that we can't say this enough, you'll see the chat inbox fill up with this over and over. Just because we want to make sure that this is very clear. If you all do have any comments, please do so. And again, ways to do that is there's two emails that you can reach out to us at. The first one is kegelterraceinfo@kcdc.org. The second one is housinginfo@kcdc.org. Or you can leave a letter or a note or a message by sliding in under Rhonda and Sherry's door, the management office there in the B building. We really do welcome your comments and hope that you all are able to participate that way. So without any further ado, some of you all have probably noticed some of the things already being worked on. You've noticed some less than familiar faces in the building. Really what the things that we've currently worked on that we've been moving forward with is out in the parking lot. So this is exterior as well as interior changes. So these repairs and these physical changes all are placed into two different categories. So I'm going to go under the critical repairs, what HUD deems is the critical repairs. And then we have the non-critical repairs. So non-critical doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't need to happen. It's just the way that HUD is able to differentiate between what's critical for the functionality of the building as well as for the process that HUD offers and or not. So it doesn't mean that it's less than important. We will be getting to hopefully all of these, and hopefully if we are able to do this well, we'll have some left over to do some other things that we have on our wish list. But you all should have noticed that there are striping and marking, that the parking lots have been paved, stripe marked and sealed, and so with the parking spaces. The only thing left to do there that we're going to be doing are the ADA spots. You'll notice that there's going to be some concrete and curb repair here coming up. We're also looking at on the common area and public restrooms, making sure that those are more ADA accessible, making sure that they go under the standards, what we call UFIS, but basically the accessibility standards, making sure that they're completed, that we have people who are in wheelchairs have access to the sinks and everything else like that. So there'll be several different things with the common area bathrooms, compliant toilet stalls, looking at different things with that. What you're going to notice in the for the ADA units, our handicap accessible units, we're also looking at a lot of the cabinets and vanities and making sure that those are within reach, according to the standards as well. What's going to be happening also with all of the units, and we've already started on some of these, and you may have noticed on some of these, the GFCI outlets, making sure that the currents and the grounds are all there, and so everything is as safe as possible. So those are going to be replaced. The smoke detectors, for the emergency call system, we already do have the electrical setup for that, but we're going to make sure that is the emergency call system is installed and is working in each of the units. And then finally, for the critical repairs, looking at the electrical inspection and having that done for the entire for both buildings, making sure that those are completed. So those are the critical repairs. Moving on to the non-critical repairs, we're looking at, what, again, what we've already done is looking at the asphalt seal coat. This has already happened. And basically, this allows for longevity of the parking lot so that we're not driving over potholes all the time and things like that. So I know that was a very welcomed change when we were able to do that. Again, we have some concrete repair and patio repair. One, we're eliminating some of the trip hazards, but we're really looking at making the property really beautiful. As lovely as the courtyard is at Cagle Terrace, we want to make sure that it's accessible to everybody. And so that is really one of the things that is allowed for that. We're going to remove some of the fencing on that's there on the wrought iron fencing. If you're familiar with the, I believe it's the northeast side of the building, on the property rather, we're going to get rid of that wrought iron fencing. It doesn't really do much for any functionality, and so we're doing that. Some of you all have noticed some of the fence repairs on the western side of the building, or on side of the property rather. We've done a major clean out there, and that was because of, we were able to get prepare for some of this. The retaining wall that we have on the A building on the northeast side of that actual building, we're making sure that is repaired. It's not a safety issue because it's not really retaining anything but that little garden bed, but it is enough to where we want to make sure that is repaired and completed. We're going to be doing a lot of paint on the interior, but also the exterior of the building. You know, our neighbors right next door to the west of us, they've got they've really modernized their location. You all deserve that as well. So we're going to be looking and doing that. Some of the window repairs, we know that some of the windows have needed repair for a while, and we're really lucky to be able to use the RAD process for this. So we're going to be getting some of the windows repaired, especially with some of the aluminum that's that fills in the siding of the windows there. So that's we're going to be doing that for all of the units. Then here we're looking at painting the dwelling units. We're going to be painting each of those units. All of the common areas, paint stains, and common areas on the hallways of each floor. We're also looking at providing some of the flooring there. In the A building, we're repairing the air filtration system and replacing some of those. And then we have bare ground on the east side of the building, and just kind of assisting with some of that erosion that we have over on the east side of that building, going down the bank right there off of Sutherland. And so we're going to be repairing some of that erosion. With that, we're also, as Kara said, we're moving toward the zero bedroom to the one bedroom. We will making sure that each of our units are one bedroom. And that's just to make that galley kitchen more of an actual kitchen, and your bedroom more of a bedroom, and making sure that's done. I do want to say that if there are any reasonable accommodations that need to be made with any of the things that I just mentioned, we will, of course, abide by HUD regulations and law to make sure that we are accommodating reasonably and making sure that each of those considerations are taken. But I don't want to scare anybody or thinking that someone's not going to be able to live with us. That is absolutely not the point, or not the case that we're having here. So with that, I know that was a pretty quick rundown of each of those things. Like we said, you know, you all will feel maybe a fraction of those. It's really going to be in what Kara was discussing, as well as the move. And we're going to work as hard as we can to make sure people don't have to move more than once. Some folks will have to move twice, but we're going to do our best to make sure that we can reduce the impact that you all feel and can continue to call Cagle Terrace your home. So with that, Kara, that's really all I've got on our the repair side and the crit and non-crit repairs. I'm going to throw it back over to you, okay? And Kara, you should be able to do that now.
Excellent. Thank you. I think that's pretty much a wrap of what we had to share with you today. I do want to remind you that unlike many of the meetings leading up to this, we're actually getting ready to be at the point where you see the changes and don't just hear about them from us. So as you see things happening, as you start getting communication via mail or at your doors about signing new leases and doing the appropriate paperwork to make the transition that we're getting ready to make. If you continue to have questions, just reach out and let us know. I'm going to one more time repeat for you the ways to get any questions or comments out to us.
Yes, thank you.
Email us at housinginfo, HOUSINGINFO, at kcdc.org. housinginfo@kcdc.org, or kagleterraceinfo@kcdc.org. That is kagleterraceinfo@kcdc.org. And if that's not something that you're able to do, or if it just feels like a lot of trouble because that was a very long email address that I just spoke out there, then please feel free to handwrite any questions or comments you have and slide them under the door of the management office. And Matt and myself will be working with Rhonda and Sherry to make sure that we are getting anything that you have submitted in that fashion. We are really excited. I'm really excited about seeing you guys here before the end of the year in person to get these leases signed and to get that piece past us so we can get some of this work underway. Mm-hmm. And I so appreciate you joining us today for this meeting. And we'll be looking for you to reach out to us with questions and comments. Let me also add, again, this presentation will be at www.kcdc.org. Everything I have mentioned and talked about today, everything that has been mentioned by Matt will be on the website. But we will also be sending this to management so that they may post it in some of the common areas. It's actually only a couple of pages long, even though it seems like a very long meeting. They will post it in common areas and certainly can provide you a copy if you would like to have a copy. Mm-hmm. I think that's all I have.
Okay. I'm going to just add one more thing for those email addresses. They are just another reminder. They are in your chat box. So until we close up for the day, you can go into the chat if you're able to open that up and copy and paste those email addresses. Those are for you all anyway. That's not going to stop after conversion, and that's not something that we've installed just during conversion. You all have access to those email addresses all the time. So just want you all to know that you all have access to that, as well as your office management there. And a big shout out to Rhonda Harris and Sherry Taylor. I believe you're all on this call as well. And I know there's a lot going on this morning, so thank you for making the time to be here, and appreciate you all leading us out there. I think that's it. Guys, thank you very much for attending. Please let us know of any questions, comments, or anything that you have during this entire process, and we'll look forward to talking with you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.